I'll tell you about the blues. The blues is something that you play when you're in a low mood or something, and the hardships that you have had through life. It's just a mood that you are in. Blues is something that you have to play coming from your heart. And blues have been going on for the centuries and centuries. And blues was written in years and centuries ago, and they will always last. Say, for instance, you'd be lonely, and your girlfriend or your wife, you'd be in a melancholy mood or something. Well, you just want to hear some blues. Then you just go in and relax your nerves. Blues is something that relaxes your nerves.
Got the blues? Need your nerves relaxed? Well, then tune in to Code Blue every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. for all kinds of blues, and all definitely from the heart. That's every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Code Blue.
Now, you just take a man. He have been prosperous, making lots of money. Well, I mean, when his money's all gone, what else is left but the blues?
Beautiful country. You know, I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good, some bad. Matter of fact, in those days...
CITR!
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. Kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure on that, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yeah! Hello, folks, and welcome to CITR 101.9 FM. This is The Rib. I'm Robin. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine today, and I will be soon. As soon as I finish today, I'm out to Gambier. Yes. So, the Jazz Festival is actually starting this week, and a lot of really great shows, such as The Grandmothers on Friday night. Won't miss that for anything. Okay, so today I have for my feature album, Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People. Cool name. And the album is called Dinosaur Power. And this guy, Friendly Rich, is from Brampton, Ontario, and he has done many things such as compose background music for the Tom Green Show, and his own record label is called the Pumpkin Pie Corporation. He's completed a master's degree at U of T and has even studied with R. Murray Schafer, who actually came to UBC in the spring and gave a really interesting talk about new music and... soundscapes, as in like landscapes through sound. The Lollipop People are the musicians he works with, and I can tell you who they are and what they play. Here we go. So Jeff Burke plays the bassoon, Brandy Disterheft plays the double bass, Julia Hamilton plays clarinets, Sly Juhas plays the drums, Gregory O plays harpsichord, Kimberly Pritchard on accordion, Nicol S. Robertson on banjo, Kristen Thierot on harp, Scott Thompson trombone, and Richard Marcella singing. And I assume Richard Marcella would be Friendly Rich. Now, this is their third studio recording, and the first song I'm going to play is my favorite one on the CD. It's the sixth song. I always get stuck with these German names. It's Fräulein Fleischsalat, you know, and I'm really sorry, but I just can't do that for you today. Anyway, six track.
Wo steht denn keine? Wo geht denn Heiner? Wo ist es Sid und Leina? Wo ist ein Fründchen Kaiser? Wo ist ein Fründchen Kaiser? Wo ist ein Schenkel? Schnell,
Was aber bin den Teiler, um den Kringten Kreinter, ein Protestant brandischter Hof. Hülsch wollte sein,
that was Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People from their album Dinosaur Power. Okay, up next I'm going to be playing something by OOIOO, who were on the Thrill Jockey label, and the album is called the I Remix EP. Okay, so Yoshime Peewee is the drummer from Boredoms, and she is the lead in this group, so it's sort of a side project of Boredoms. And there's Kayan on guitar, Aya on bass, and Ai on drums as well. So it's a Japanese band. And this album came out in 2007. Now, the last two tracks are actually quite different than the first two. The first two are really dance-oriented. The last two tracks are the ones I like better, and they're called Umo and Uma, and I'm going to be playing the fourth track, which is called Uma, and I really like it because there's a lot of sort of chanting involved. I wish I could understand, but sadly I don't speak Japanese. Here we go.
Let's go.
Okay, so I guess that was the end. Now back to our feature, Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People. The next song I'm going to play is actually like really funny, I think. And humor in music is one of the biggest things to me. It's just like why not, you know? So this one is called The Family Tree. And it's quite long, actually. It's about 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes long. So let's just get right to it, why don't we?
The Family Tree. My grandpa Joe lived in a small Italian town named Pico. Like Joe Verdi was to music, my grandpa Joe was renowned for the horticultural art of tree grafting. Tree grafting is when you successfully attach a branch from one tree onto another. For my grandpa, it began as a hobby. When he was 12 years old, he grafted a lemon onto the ancient olive tree in the front yard. That tree would soon become his colorful masterpiece. Each year, he would graft a new fruit branch onto the family tree. Soon the drab green olives were sprouting beside branches of juicy lemons, oranges, grapes, and figs. Grandpa was fascinated by the idea of attaching one form of life onto another and watching them grow together in harmony. The neighbors all loved the wonderful sights and smells of our growing tree. They would often come by to pick fresh fruit from Grandpa's tree. My Grandpa Joe would not stop evolving his grafting talent. By the time he was 30 years old, he became obsessed with grafting different life forms to the tree. He began experimenting with Rico, the family dog. In 1914, Rico was successfully grafted to the tree, and my grandfather was one of the proudest men in Pico. He would walk the streets, smoking his pipe, telling all of the neighbors to visit his tree, as they would surely be surprised. The wonderful sights and smells of the tree were now accompanied by the sounds of our yappy old dog. Nobody could believe that my Grandpa Joe had changed the laws of modern science. "What will you graft next, Giuseppe?" asked his proud wife, Santina. Grandpa had not thought about it too much as he joked, "Sandy, perhaps I will graft you to the tree." Shortly after, my grandfather had successfully grafted his own wife to the masterpiece. By the end of that year, the town priest, the entire Pico soccer team, an octopus, our symphony orchestra, and a fire truck were all grafted to the old olive tree. It looked as if a magical garden from outer space had landed on our front lawn. When the entire tree was buzzing and hollering, it sounded as though all of New York City had been grafted to it. Soon after this, the concerned mayor of Pico paid a visit to my grandfather and said, "Well, Joe, I admire your work, but I am told that your tree is beginning to disturb some of the neighbors with all of the noisy tourists beginning to visit Pico. I'm sorry, but we will have to chop down the tree if this continues." Within an hour of his warning, the mayor had been grafted to the tree. My grandpa always used to say, "Politicians should never control culture." For months, my grandpa scratched his balding head, wondering which of his neighbors had complained. Was it Percy Crescenzo, the lonely old man who stayed at home, ironing his shirts all day? Was it Flavio Rosa, the Pico real estate agent, who so desperately wanted to sell our famous property? Or was it Signor Stronzo, the town chef, who was probably jealous of our tree's fresh produce? Somebody had it in for my grandpa, as he wrote a letter to his wife, who had grown so high into the tree that he could barely see her anymore. "Dear Sandy, life is good down here on the ground. My work has never been more fulfilling than now. I miss you very much, and I'm planning to visit you very soon for a picnic in the sky. Your loving husband, Joe." Just then, he sealed the letter and gave it to his pet monkey, Pepe, to personally deliver to his wife, high in the branches of his famous tree. One morning in August 1921, the grafted roosters woke up the entire tree as usual. Soon after, my grandpa woke up too and smoked his pipe like any other morning. Except that fateful morn, there was a foreign sound emanating from the tree. It was the horrible roar of a chainsaw. My grandpa rushed outside to find a tree removal company hacking at his tree. The main stump was half cut by the time my grandpa could try and stop them. Big Foam Tree Removal, Inc. had sent their largest bulldozer to kill our family tree. Flavio Rosa, the evil real estate man, was standing nearby with a grin on his face. "You can't do this," my grandfather screamed. He ran to the giant saw and tried to stop their cutting. At that point, the entire tree was screaming in fear. "On the contrary, Joe, you can't do this anymore," said the sleazy real estate man. "The people of Pico deserve better than to be chained to the prison of your noisy tree. And we have sold your property to Big Foam Industries. You have until tomorrow to find a new home." "I'm sorry, Joe. I did warn you of this," said the mayor from high up in the tree. And with that, the chainsaw had cut through the entire tree, and all that was left was the famous fall of my grandfather's legacy. Like no sound ever heard before, it crushed my grandpa's old house and everything inside. Our entire family history had been erased with one big thump. My grandpa was kneeling in the dust beside the butchered stump, with tears running down his face and his pet monkey, Pepe, curled up in his lap. After the fall of our tree, there was a silence in Pico that had not been heard in years. And what broke the silence was my beautiful grandmother's voice. "Oh, Joe, it's so good to see you again," she said. And like a true gentleman, my grandpa forgot about his woes and gave her a loving hug. "Oh, Sandy, my dear, I missed you so much," he said, as his tears of sadness turned to joy. And the sun was shining down on my grandpa's dead tree as he and my grandma walked happily off their property, never to return again. Left with only a trace from their old life in Italy, a seed from my grandfather's famous tree, and this story of our wonderful past. The end.
Interested in NGOs or the nonprofit sector? Want to teach in another country? How about a position in the commerce or engineering sector? Do you want to travel abroad and have a life-changing experience? Isaac UBC offers different internships for all kinds of specialties. We are looking for students interested in fields such as the HIV/AIDS pandemic, community empowerment, business administration, education, environment, and sustainability, and much more. If you're interested in working abroad or helping out on campus, please contact ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. That's ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. It's up to you.
feeling funky.
1, 2, party people in the place to be.
Funky dope. Funky dope.
1, 2, party people in the place
Rainbow
to be.
Rainbow Groove here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Getting you in the mood for the weekend. I'm your host, DJ B-Fad, and I'll present a kaleidoscope of funky grooves for your mind, body, and soul. Tune in to hear everything from underground disco, roller boogie, space funk, rare groove, jazzy house, dub reggae, and anything and everything from Chaka Khan to The Clash. That's Rainbow Groove every Friday night from 9 to 10:30 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Crazy fresh, crazy fresh.
Yeah, all we need is some funky dev chow.
All right, welcome back. So what we just heard is Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People's Family Tree, and that was really, really cool. Today I actually have a lot of storytelling in my, or poetry, whatever, in my show. For those of you who are a fan of the beat poets of the America, then you would love what I'm going to be playing later. Which is the Kronos Quartet's rendition of one of the Beat Poets' poems. And, well, I'll just leave it at that for now. But right now, I'm going to be playing something by a German woman named Auntie Gray. AGF is her alias. And it's Letters Make No Meaning, and it's, I found it online. What it is it's also called Weapons, No War Germs, No Disease, One. It's a recorded German alphabet turning into a trilogy of compositions, and that she's singing them. She's also a software musician, producer, and e-poet. So a lot of her material you will be able to find online. And she's also part of the German electronic duo Laub, and she lives in Berlin. So if you are interested in what you are going to be hearing next, you can also check out www.poemproducer.com for more from her. So here we are. Letters Make No Meaning. All right, welcome back. So, next up is another track by our Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People CD. For those of you who are just tuning in, the album's called Dinosaur Power, and Friendly Rich is from, actually his real name being Richard Marcella. He is from Brampton, Ontario, and this is their third studio recording. He's got quite a large number of musicians backing him up. Okay, and now the next song I'm going to play from him, it's called Me and Mom.
Thank you.
All right, so now up next is the special treat. The other day I was wandering around in the library in West Vancouver and the Memorial Library. I don't know if that means that a lot of their stuff is really old as well, but it is. But I happened to find a Kronos Quartet recording called Howl, USA, and on the back, I was just kind of looking it over, so we have a couple things pretty interesting. And then I saw, oh, Howl, poem and reading by Allen Ginsberg. And so I thought I'd bring it in, and we're going to do part one. Nicole here wants to do a little intro, so let's hear it.
So, hi guys, Nicole here, as Robin already said. My intro is as follows. He kicks the car into low gear and throws her torso into the back with the others. Women, they come and they go, and their spines are too easy aligned to replace yours with mine. Hopefully that'll get you in the mood for the rest of the Howl.
Excellent. Okay, so here we are. It was actually arranged, written by Lee Hyla, the full, what you're going to hear here. And it's a long track, so if you're planning on, I don't know, getting out of your car, picking something up, don't.
Howl for Carl Solomon. I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves to the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo and the machinery of night, who poverty and tatters and hollow-eyed and high sat up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats, floating across the tops of cities contemplating jazz, who bared their brains to heaven under the L and saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs illuminated, who passed through universities with radiant, cool eyes hallucinating Arkansas and Blake-like tragedy among the scholars of war, who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes on the windows of the skull, who cowered in unshaven rooms in underwear, burning their money in wastebaskets and listening to the terror through the wall, who got busted in their pubic beards returning through the radar with a belt of marijuana for New York, who ate fire in paint hotels or drank turpentine in Paradise Alley, yes, or purgatoried their torsos night after night with dreams, with drugs, with waking nightmares, alcohol and cock and endless balls, incomparable blind streets of shuddering cloud and lightning in the mind leaping toward poles of Canada and Patterson, illuminating all the motionless world of time between peyote solidities of walls, backyard green tree cemetery dawns, wine drunkenness over the rooftops, storefront burrows of tea heads, joyride, neon blinking traffic light, sun and moon and tree vibration to the roaring winter dusks of Brooklyn, ash can rantings and kind keen light of mind, who chained themselves to subways for the endless ride from Battery to Holy Bronx on Benzedrine, until the noise of wheels and children brought them down, shuddering mouth racked and battered, bleak of brain, all drained of brilliance in the drear light of Zoo, who sank all night in submarine light of Bickford's, floated out and sat through the stale beer afternoon in desolate Fugazi's, listening to the crack of doom on the hydrogen jukebox, who talked continuously 70 hours from park to bed to bar to Bellevue to museum to the Brooklyn Bridge, a lost battalion of platonic conversationalists jumping down the stoops, off fire escapes, off windowsills, off Empire State, out of the moon, yakety-yakking, screaming, vomiting, whispering facts and memories and anecdotes and eyeball kicks and shocks of hospitals and jails and wars, whole intellects disgorged in total recall for 7 days and nights with brilliant eyes, meat for the synagogue cast on the pavement, who vanished into nowhere Zen New Jersey, leaving a trail of ambiguous picture postcards of Atlantic City Hall, suffering eastern sweats and Tangerian bone grindings and migraines of China under junk withdrawal in Newark's bleak furnished room, who wandered around and around at midnight in the railroad yard wondering where to go and went, leaving no broken hearts. Who lit cigarettes in boxcars, 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 racketing through snow toward lonesome farms in Grandfather Night. Who studied Plotinus, Poe, St. John of the Cross, telepathy, and Bob Kabbalah, because the cosmos instinctively vibrated at their feet in Kansas. Who loaned it through the streets of Idaho, seeking visionary Indian angels who were visionary Indian angels. Who thought they were only mad when Baltimore beamed in supernatural ecstasy. Who jumped in limousines with the Chinamen of Oklahoma on the impulse of winter, midnight, streetlight, small town, rain. Who lounged hungry and lonesome through Houston seeking jazz or sex or soup. And followed the brilliant Spaniard to converse about America and eternity. A hopeless task. And so took ship to Africa. Who disappeared into the volcanoes of Mexico, leaving behind nothing but the shadow of dungarees and the lava and ash of poetry scattered in fireplace Chicago. Who reappeared on the West Coast investigating the FBI in beards and shorts with big pacifist eyes, sexy in their dark skin, passing out incomprehensible leaflets. Who burned cigarette holes in their arms, protesting the narcotic tobacco haze of capitalism. Who distributed super communist pamphlets in Union Square, weeping and undressing, while the sirens of Los Alamos wailed them down, and wailed down Wall, and the Staten Island Ferry also wailed. Who broke down crying in white gymnasiums, naked and trembling before the machinery of other skeletons. Who bit detectives in the neck and shrieked with delight in police cars for committing no crime but their own wild cooking, pederasty, and intoxication. Who howled on their knees in the subway and were dragged off the roof waving genitals and manuscripts. Who let themselves be fucked in the ass by saintly motorcyclists and screamed with joy. Who blew and were blown by those human seraphim, the sailors, caresses of Atlantic and Caribbean love. Who bawled in the morning and the evening in rose gardens and the grass of public parks and cemeteries, scattering their semen freely to whomever, come who may. Who hiccuped endlessly trying to giggle but wound up with a sob behind a partition in a Turkish bath. When the blonde and naked angel came to pierce them with a sword. Who lost their love boys to the three old shrews of fate. The one-eyed shrew of the heterosexual dollar. The one-eyed shrew that winks out of the womb. And the one-eyed shrew that does nothing but sit on our ass and snip the intellectual golden threads of the craftsman's loom. Who copulated, ecstatic and insatiate, with a bottle of beer, a sweetheart, a package of cigarettes, a candle, and fell off the bed, and continued along the floor and down the hall, and ended fainting on the wall, with a vision of ultimate cunt and cum, eluding the last chism of consciousness. Who sweetened the snatches of a million girls trembling in the sunset, and were red-eyed in the morning, but prepared to sweeten the snatch of the sunrise, flashing buttocks under barns and naked in the lake. Who went out whoring through Colorado in myriad stolen night cars. NC, secret hero of these poems. Coxman and Adonis of Denver. Joy to the memory of his innumerable lays of girls in empty lots and diner backyards. Movie houses, rickety rows, on mountaintops and caves, or with gaunt waitresses and familiar roadside lonely petticoat upliftings, and especially secret gas station solipsisms of John's, and hometown alleys too. Who fade out in vast, sordid movies, were shifted in dreams, woke on a sudden Manhattan, and picked themselves up out of basements hung over with heartless Tokay and horrors of Third Avenue iron dreams, and stumbled to unemployment offices. Who walked all night with their shoes full of blood on the snowbank docks, waiting for a door in the East River to open to a room full of steam, heat, and opium. Who created great suicidal dramas on the apartment cliff banks of the Hudson under the wartime blue floodlight of the moon, and their head shall be crowned with laurel in oblivion. Who ate the lamb stew of the imagination or digested the crab at the muddy bottom of the rivers of Bowery. Who wept at the romance of the streets with their pushcarts full of onions and bad music. who sat in boxes breathing in the darkness under the bridge and rose up to build harpsichords in their lofts, who coughed on the sixth floor of Harlem, crowned with flame under the tubercular sky, surrounded by orange crates of theology, who scribbled all night rocking and rolling over lofty incantations, which in the yellow morning were stanzas of gibberish, who cooked rotten animals, lung, heart, feet, tail, borscht, and tortillas, dreaming of the pure vegetable kingdom, who plunged themselves under meat trucks looking for an egg, who threw their watches off the roof to cast their ballot for eternity outside of time, and alarm clocks fell on their heads every day for the next decade, who cut their wrists three times successively, unsuccessfully, gave up and were forced to open antique stores where they thought they were growing old and cried, who were burned alive in their innocent flannel suits on Madison Avenue amid blasts of leaden verse and the tanked-up clatter of the iron regiments of fashion and the nitroglycerin shrieks of the furies of advertising and the mustard gas of sinister, intelligent editors, or were run down by the drunken taxicabs of absolute reality, who jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, this actually happened, and walked away unknown and forgotten into the ghostly days of Chinatown, soup, alleyways, and fire trucks, not even one free beer, who sang out of their windows in despair, fell out of the subway, jumped into filthy Passaic, leaped on Negroes, cried all over the street, danced on broken wine glasses, barefoot, smashed phonograph records of nostalgic European 1930s German jazz, finished the whiskey and threw up groaning into the bloody toilet, moans in their ears and the blast of colossal steam whistles, who barreled down the highways of the past, journeying to each other's hot rod Golgotha jail solitude watch or Birmingham jazz incarnation, who drove cross-country 72 hours to find out if I had a vision, or you had a vision, or he had a vision, to find out eternity, who journeyed to Denver, who died in Denver, who came back to Denver and waited in vain, who watched over Denver and brooded and loaned in Denver, and finally went away to find out the time, and now Denver is lonesome for her heroes, who fell on their knees in hopeless cathedrals, praying for each other's salvation and light and breaths until the soul illuminated its hair for a second, who crashed through their minds in jail, waiting for impossible criminals with golden heads and the charm of reality in their hearts, who sang sweet blues to Alcatraz, who retired to Mexico to cultivate a habit, or Rocky Mount to tender Buddha, or Tangiers to boys, or Southern Pacific to the black locomotive, or Harvard to Narcissus, to Woodlawn, to the daisy chain or grave, who demanded sanity trials, accusing the radio of hypnotism, and were left with their insanity in their hands in a hung jury, who threw potato salad at CCNY lecturers on Dadaism and subsequently presented themselves on the granite steps of the madhouse with shaven heads and harlequin speech of suicide, demanding instantaneous lobotomy, and who were given instead the concrete void of insulin, metrosol, electricity, hydrotherapy, psychotherapy, ping-pong, and amnesia, who, in humorless protest, overturned only one symbolic ping-pong table, resting briefly in catatonia, returning years later truly bald except for a wig of blood and tears and fingers to the visible madman doom of the wards of the mad towns of the East, pilgrim states, rocklands, and gray stone fetid halls, bickering with the echoes of the soul, rocking and rolling in the midnight solitude, bench dolmen realms of love, dream of life a nightmare, bodies turned to stone as heavy as the moon, with mother finally asterisked, and the last fantastic book flung out of the tenement window, and the last door closed at 4 a.m., and the last telephone slammed at the wall in reply, and the last furnished room emptied down to the last piece of mental furniture, a yellow paper rose twisted on a wire hanger in the closet, and even that imaginary, nothing but a hopeful little bit of hallucination. Carl, while you are not safe, I am not safe, and now you're really in the total animal soup of time. and who therefore ran through the icy streets obsessed with the sudden flash of the alchemy of the use of ellipsis, catalog, a variable measure in the vibrating plane, who dreamt and made incarnate gaps in time and space through images juxtaposed, and trapped the archangel of the soul between two visual images, and join the elemental verbs and set the noun and dash of consciousness together, jumping with sensation of pater omnipotens aeterna deus to recreate the syntax and measure of poor human prose, and stand before you speechless and intelligent and shaking with shame, rejected yet confessing out the soul to conform to the rhythm of thought in his naked and endless head. The madman, bomb and angel beat in time unknown, yet putting down here what might be left to say in time come after death. And Rose reincarnate in the ghostly clothes of jazz and the gold-worn shadow of the band, and blew the suffering of America's naked mind for love into an lama lama sabachthani saxophone cry that shivered the city down to the last radio with the absolute heart of the poem of life butchered out of their own bodies, good to eat a thousand years.
All right, so that was Allen Ginsberg reading his poem Howl and the Kronos Quartet playing behind. So after my show, we only have about 10 minutes left, there is News 101, and then 5:30 is Career Fast Track. Then we have Some Sound with Henry S. at 6 o'clock. 7:30 is Radio Free Gag, and 9 o'clock is The Jazz Show, followed by Vengeance Is Mine at midnight. So keep tuned in. Good stuff's coming. And more good stuff is coming, indeed. Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People. Dinosaur Power. So we're going back to these guys. They're from Brampton, Ontario, if you didn't catch that last few times. And what I'm going to be playing is called The Miserable End of Captain Alonso. So maybe another story. We'll see.
Cattura del mio amore, alla cattura del mio amore. Thank you.
Okay, so hello. Oh, and there we are. So welcome back to The Rib on CITR. Yeah. Hope you're enjoying the sun. I hope it's still sunny, actually. Okay, enough of that. So here's the pretty much end of my show for today. I still have one more thing, so don't leave. But that's it for the feature album, Friendly Rich and the Lollipop People. I liked it. Okay, so last up here is Bill Dixon with the Exploding Star Orchestra. And we're not going to be able to hear the whole track. I mean, it's like 18 minutes long. But Jazz Fest, it's on now. Brubeck's tonight. I thought I'd kick it off with some sort of more jazzy tune. And this is, if you're wondering, this is on Thrill Jockey label as well. And it came out this year in February. And it's called Entrances 2. And it's the third track on the CD. It's a long song, so you're not going to hear the whole thing, but you'll hear a teaser. Anyway, see you next week.